Today on Movie Wallace, we talk about Caught Stealing, The Long Walk, and a big, bold, beautiful journey. It's time for Movie Wallace. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallace is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. That means you. That means you listening to this right now.
Yep.
That
this
means
is for you.
You watching this,
this is for you.
Right now.
Just for you.
Just for you.
Just for you. From us to you. You.
We are here.
For you.
And you, and you, and you.
all both of you.
I was thinking the titles of the movies you read out is almost like a short story.
I know, yeah. Caught Stealing, went on a long walk, and it was a big, bold, beautiful journey.
Yeah.
Journey. It's, yeah, it's funny how that happens.
Or you went on a long walk, and then you got caught stealing, but it was a big, bold, beautiful
yes.
journey. Whatever.
You win the prize.
Here we are.
Yes.
All right, people. Movie Wallace is brought to you by Haribo. I'm lifting up this huge bag. Yazdi, there's a reason we're friends. Yazdi bought...
Well, that's very kind.
A gazillion.
Very kind.
A gazillion Haribo.
Oh, it's just 125
bags.
Little bags inside.
It's enough to turn my blood into syrup.
No, there is hardly any.
You're going to look like it's a Haribo gold bear if you eat all of those.
No, but it's great at the movies. You just keep
that's
one
true.
In your pocket.
That's true. And bring one for Yazdi.
Yes.
Yeah, so I could eat these things by the pound, and here I have about
I find them too
8
chewy.
Pounds of them.
I don't oh, mind no, them. It's so one of those. I'd never want one.
They are firm.
I never
firm.
Want one, but when I have one, I want more.
Yeah.
It's always that thing with Haribos for me.
So again, thank you, Yazdi, for like...
Also, our dear friend Melissa loves them, so maybe you should share them with Melissa, Yazdi.
And just for the folks okay. listening, these
which
are,
Melissa is...
This is a cost.
Melissa, yes.
And just for the folks listening, this what I'm holding in my hand is a huge bag of Haribo gold bears, which Yazdi acquired.
Costco size.
Yeah, this is amazing. Thank
it's,
you so much.
It's available not at your regular Costco, but at your Costco business. If you have a Costco business in the city
I
that you live
why
in.
It's Costco business. Like, do they think businesses want these little packets of Haribos?
That's what you put out in the bowl.
Maybe
in
that's
true.
What, yeah.
That's
for
you,
people
you,
to have.
In an office.
If you
yeah.
work in a hipster millennial yeah, company,
right.
you have to have free snacks everywhere.
Yeah.
Not our stuffy corporate offices that we're used to working in.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
We have a lot to cover. We have three films and Netflix recommendations and whatnot.
And then we're going to go eat too, hopefully. We should hustle. So let's very, very briefly do a quick round of Netflix or streaming picks in our yes. segment of I can't find anything to watch on video on demand. So tell us, pray tell, what
okay.
would you be recommending somebody with a remote control in their hand?
So I was very resistant to the one I'm going to suggest. I am suggesting K-pop Demon Hunters, which sounds, what an awful title to start with. And then it's this weird animation. But this is a super fun, just joyful little movie. I love this movie, K-pop Demon Hunters on Netflix. It's so cute. Just watch it. It's so fun. It's so fun.
It was hilarious. It was last weekend, was it? We watched it the weekend before. But
it was like a weekday. Like, I think it was even a weeknight.
No, it was a weekend. Because I was like, let's watch a movie because it's a weekend. And I'd just seen an article about it.
Yeah,
saying
it's the
most
streamed
Netflix thing ever. And I was like, A, how have I not heard of this? And B,
well, we'd kind of flicked through it.
Why is this a thing? And so we watched it, and I thought it was fun.
It was very fun.
And there is a feature length K-pop Demon Hunter movie right now in your theaters as well, which at least two people have asked me if we were going to review it, and I just shrugged off saying, "What nonsense! We don't review Demon Hunters."
And there's going to be a karaoke version as well.
Yeah, but anyway, I would love to go see it. I mean, people I trust have told me that they saw the theater movie and that they really liked it.
Yeah, it's a lovely animation.
Mm.
It's fun. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure of the message, but
it's yes, Lee, what's yours?
My recommendation is a movie that all three of us swooned over last year when it was released. It's the unlikely, beautiful, heartfelt adaptation of the 1970s Judy Blume novel, which is Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Exactly. It's about a teenage girl, you know, growing up and dealing with menstruation and boys and, you know, other friends and so forth. But, and I'm not a teenage girl. But that movie,
really?
I'm not, believe it or not. But that movie really, really resonated. And I know it did for you as well, Joe.
I loved it.
And I think it's because it's so warmly directed. Yeah. And I think Abby Ryder Fortson, who plays the female lead, the young girl, was robbed of an Oscar nomination. And Rachel McAdams, who plays her mother, got robbed of a Best Supporting Actor nomination as well. You cannot go wrong with Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. It's on Netflix. You can thank me later.
Yes.
Wonderful Joe. Pick.
Yes.
Okay. Seeing as Rashmi's trying to keep us running along, my pick is going to be The Running Man. Now, The Running Man is getting a re-release. It's a Stephen King. I think it's a Stephen King.
Not a re-release, a redo.
A remake.
Is it a Stephen King or is it a Philip K. Dick?
I think it's a Philip K. Dick.
Okay. It's one of those. I should know.
Well,
I should
one
do
of
that
us should
book.
Check. I will check.
So this is the 1987 iteration of The Running Man. Now, will I call this a wonderful piece of cinema art that should have been remembered over the annals of time? No, I'm not. But what I will say is, and I haven't seen it for a while, and I intend to watch it, A, because there is a remake coming
by Stephen King
in November.
And it's got Glenn Powell in it.
Is that right?
The new one, yeah.
Oh, the new one. I was going to say.
It's being directed by Edgar Wright, who was always amazing. So,
who did that amazing car movie?
Yes.
The Drive.
Oh, Baby.
Baby
Run,
Driver.
Baby Run. Baby Driver.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and he also did, that movie where Anya Taylor-Joy. Anyway.
I know the one you mean.
Lots of things, yeah.
But that'll be interesting. It looks like a very different take from what I've seen of the trailer. I refuse to watch trailers when I can help it, but that one had me intrigued just because the 1987 Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle, which was The Running Man, it just happened to be one of my favorite movies as a kid.
It's a super fun movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It was at a time when, you know, you could rent these things from video stores, and I watched this one over and over. I think I actually pirated it. I connected two VCRs together and I made a copy of it, and then I watched it over and over and over. That was me, naughty teenage Joe. So, all right, let's recap. Rashmi, your pick. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, the only thing I would add is I think your recommendation for The Running Man is very apropos, because one of the movies we are going to be discussing on this podcast is
also
The Long
Stephen
Walk,
King.
Which is kind of similar, I think, in its theme, and it's also based on a Stephen King short story.
Yep.
But we'll come to that in a few minutes.
Cool. Okay, Rashmi, your pick was?
K-pop Demon Hunters on Netflix.
Yes, you brought us the wonderful...
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, also on Netflix. Just watch it.
And mine is also a Netflix pick. This is The Running Man, which was released in September on Netflix as well. Okay, business time. We have three movies, Caught Stealing, The Long Walk, and A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. We are going to tackle them in that order, and we are going to be super efficient. So let's begin with Caught Stealing.
Okay, so directed by Darren Aronofsky and written by Charlie Houston, this is the movie about a burned-out ex-baseball player called Hank Thompson, who unexpectedly finds himself embroiled in a dangerous struggle for survival amidst the criminal underbelly of 1990s New York City. And he's forced to navigate a treacherous underworld that he never imagined. So this has got a great cast. This has Austin Butler, Zoe Kravitz, Regina King, Liev Schreiber is in here, Griffin Dune, there's 100 people. Matt Smith is in here. Kolnikov. I thought I'd try one of those. And Chris Mad Dog Russo is also in this. Who voiced Mike and the Mad Dog? Remember that? Anyway.
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. So what did you think about this? Yazdi, why don't you start us off?
So I saw this movie, but barely 2 hours ago, because I'd missed the original screening. And I'm fascinated by auteurs who take on kind of more genre films or more commercial films. And Darren Aronofsky broke onto the film scene with the movie Pi. And since then he made Requiem for a Dream, and he did Noah's Ark. He did Black Swan. And
The Wrestler.
And The Wrestler. And most recently he did the god-awful The Whale.
Ooh, which, that was wonderful.
Yes, that was great. No, I didn't care for it.
But anyway, so I was very, very surprised that what would make somebody like Darren Aronofsky take on, like, what seems to be on the face of it, like a crime action thriller set in the 90s. I still don't know the answer to that question, but I had a ton of fun during this movie. It really held my interest. It's very well paced. It's kind of unexpected. It has a few double and triple crosses built in. I really enjoyed it. And I think for those who might be doubting that Austin Butler was a flash in the pan, you know, for the Elvis movie, and he really proves himself. I mean, he's in every scene of this movie. And I just thought it was a really fun time at the movies, which I'm surprised because I'd heard that, you know, it wasn't doing so well and that the reviews were kind of middling. I found it very, very entertaining.
All right, Joe.
I think of the three of us, I'm probably the biggest Aronofsky fanboy. I liked even his Left Turn movies like Mother very much so.
Me too.
This is a director that kind of resonates with me. I like his voice, and I liked what he did with this movie. You know, yeah, it's a crime caper. It's unbelievable at times in terms of the amount of violence and the way that the characters kind of all manage it. It almost feels like it's trying to build a Guy Ritchie-esque kind of world of crime drama. So, and you know, without Ritchie's specific tone, I think it doesn't work as well as if maybe Ritchie had been given this script. But overall, it's fun. It works so hard, like you say, to entertain. It's preposterous at times, and it's always surprising because I think, you know, some of the action elements are at odds with the rest of the tone of the movie. So it constantly caught me off guard, but I forgave it because I, like you yesterday, I had fun.
Exactly what Joe said. Joe, you stole my notes again this week. This is Aronofsky doing Guy Ritchie, even complete with the, you know, orthodox machine gun toting, you know, criminals, right down to that, and the kind of jokey, you know, situations that they get themselves in. It's super fun. I agree. It's working really, really hard. It's entertaining. But I think the concession of the movie is that had the inciting incident not been that someone stopped someone else knocking on a door, the movie wouldn't happen. And I know you can say, well, that's always the case in a movie, but this one seemed a little contrived in terms of how the movie actually sets off and then what happens. So I think other than that, it's entertaining. Other than the violence is really, really, really heavy. Really heavy handed with the violence.
There was a couple scenes where I had to close my eyes because I couldn't see. I just couldn't watch.
It's blood and guts. But it is fun. I mean, it's generally, and it's hard to say that, but it's a caper. And for that fact, it is entertaining.
I mean, there's nothing novel about the story. I mean, you can go back to North by Northwest, which, you know, Hitchcock's, which is essentially about the wrong guy being accused, being thought of as committed a crime, which he hasn't committed. And suddenly the whole world is after this person. That's the story of this movie, again, in a nutshell. Yeah. But I really liked, I think the first half of the movie especially is very, very tight. This guy has done nothing wrong, and things just get progressively worse and worse and worse. Yeah. And, you know, and then the bodies start dropping. And I was like, oh, my God, this is for real. You know, so I really enjoyed that. The only thing I didn't care about with this movie was the title. I don't think caught stealing is right.
But yeah.
Nobody really is caught stealing in this movie.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
But it's a weird title. But I think for whatever reason, I don't know why people aren't giving this a higher rating. I think it's a great caper.
I think it's reviewed quite well. I'm looking here on Rotten Tomatoes. It's sitting at 84%.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
I think it's been relatively well received. I'm just trying to look up the audience score. The audiences like it too. So audience and critics align with 83 and 84%. It's been interesting because we saw it a while ago. You know, we had a production issue, so we haven't been able to get the review out up till now. But definitely, it's definitely kind of faded away. I just had to rewatch the trailer to remind myself of some of the beats and some of the tone. Speaks to the fact that there's nothing new here. This is the kind of movie that I feel like we've seen many times before. It doesn't take away from the fact that it's entertaining, but it's not a classic in any way.
Yeah, we'll forget about this one.
But it's very hardworking. Like
it's
all shot on location. I don't know how they recreate New York of the 90s. It's all shot on location. It's very hardworking. The effects seem genuine, and the script I think is pretty tight. There are a couple twists that I just did not see coming.
I think what I meant by my comment is that it's kind of a vanilla movie in the sense of like Aronofsky's movies very often aren't.
Right.
Right. You get something that is
pretty disturbing in content.
And always memorable. Right. Always memorable. Right. I mean, you know, I think my first exposure to Aronofsky was Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler, and that remains to this day, one of my favorite movies of all time. Even his somewhat mixed reception of Noah when he did the Noah's Ark movie.
I liked it.
It had such an unusual spin on the story from the Bible, and yet it retained all of the essence of that. So again, he always does these kind of unusual things, you know, the whale with its, you know, exploration, I guess, of morbid obesity and the personalities behind it. Yeah, you know, always has something like super memorable. Whereas this, I think I'll watch it. It's going to fade.
Yeah. And we'll be saying, what was that movie that we watched?
It's no Black Swan.
Yeah, for sure.
Or Mother. I mean, love it or hate it, Mother was very, very, very polarized.
I love Mother.
Mother, yeah. Exclamation.
Mother, and Mother, lower font.
Yes. Yeah.
Bing. That's it. I really did like Zoe Kravitz in this movie.
She's very good.
Everyone is good in this movie.
She's very leathery in this movie somehow. There's a real
and
kind
Regina
of...
King is in this, and she's
King
very
is
good.
Excellent
she's
in
excellent
this.
In this. And then the only bits I didn't care for were the two Hasidic gunmen. It just seemed a little too cutesy.
But it was too Guy Ritchie.
But
that
it was too
Guy Ritchie.
It's cliche, yeah.
Yeah,
cliche.
That was like the beginning of Snatch.
Exactly.
Anyway, I would give this movie an 8 out of 10 because I had such a good time, and I'm so glad I got to see it in the cinemas. In a pretty close to empty cinema, you know, just uninterrupted. I was caught up in it, and I came out saying, "Hey, I got my money's worth."
Yeah,
8 out of 10. If the only people I wouldn't recommend to is don't take kids with it. There are a couple of very, very violent scenes, but outside of that, it's
and
a hardworking
sexy
movie.
Scenes too.
Yes,
bit of fruitiness.
Yes.
Okay, Joe.
Another 8. I had a blast. It was very fun. I agree with you, Yazdi. It's one of the privileges that we have when we kind of, you know, we aim to see as many of these things in cinemas, and it's a perfect cinema movie. I'm not sure it will work as well at home. It's not necessarily a big screen movie, but you're right. It requires
your undivided attention.
Yeah. And you have to kind of work to watch it. But yeah, fun times. 8 out of 10.
And I think it's a 7 from me. Okay. Just because of the big concession at the beginning.
Okay. That's fair enough. All right. Moving on then, movie number 2 of the week is The Long Walk.
Okay, so The Long Walk is based, just like Joe's Netflix recommendation, The Running Man, The Long Walk is also based on a Stephen King short story, which has been, you know, made into a movie. And it's essentially about a group of teenage boys who compete in an annual contest where one boy from each of the American states participates in this contest. It's known as the Long Walk. And during this particular contest, they must maintain a certain walking speed or they get shot. And the person who remains at the very end is the winner. If this sounds to you very much like Hunger Games, it's because it is directed by the director of The Hunger Games, which is Francis Lawrence. The writers are Stephen King as well as J.T. Molinar. And then, you know, the stars include Cooper Hoffman, who is the son of
Dennis?
No.
Dustin?
I'll look it up. Carry on.
Oh, God.
Carry on.
Three named Hoffman who was in Boogie Nights. anyway.
It'll Philip come Seymour.
Philip Seymour. He's the son of Philip Seymour Hoffman. David Johnson, who we saw in the Alien Romulus movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
He played the robot.
He was fantastic in Alien Romulus.
He was
Romulus.
Excellent in it. Yeah. And I think he's very good here as well. But we'll talk more about it. Charlie Plummer, Garrett Waring, and others round out the cast. And surprise, surprise, Mark Hamill. Yes, that Mark Hamill from Star Wars.
Yes.
Plays the villain in the movie called The Major. This movie has been in theaters for a couple of weeks. What do you guys think of The Long Walk?
So I'll start by saying it's very difficult to make an entertaining movie about people walking. So I think it's a really high bar that you set yourself in kind of coming up with a movie like this. And you're absolutely right. This to me is kind of Lord of the Flies meets Hunger Games in its setup. I have to say, I actually enjoyed this movie. I was shocked. I didn't enjoy it in terms of its entertaining, but I thought that it presented some really interesting ideas. And we can talk about that a little bit more later. But again, I really like the fact that it talks about this group of guys and what motivates them and how people form alliances and relationships. And it didn't end how I expected it to. I think the end let it down a little bit.
Oh.
But I actually enjoyed this. I mean, enjoyed it from a cerebral perspective more than an being entertained perspective.
I thought this was very good. Look, I think there's a challenge to kind of keeping this movie going. You're right, Rashmi. It's like, you know, people walking, and ostensibly it's a very compact little world, because
yeah.
you're really all of the everyone is within a very small space. There's no cut to some place far away, some time before. There's very, very little of that. It's all very present at the moment of where people are. But look, I mean, I've been fascinated about this movie since we watched it. I haven't read the original work on which it's based, and I'm very much inspired to do that. In fact, you know, the only review I saw of this was said that it was disappointing compared to the original text. So I'm very inspired to read that. But it works really well. I think the performances are just solid throughout and carry this movie. I think that it's shockingly violent at times.
Yeah.
I think at the beginning of the movie, when we first see the first poor person who has to give up walking and is shot, that violence is like jarringly strong. And I feel like unnecessarily so. And as we went through the movie, we kept seeing these violent deaths, which it just kind of felt it was there for shock value. And, you know, perhaps that was to put us in the position of the protagonist. But I just thought it was overly violent. I think it was more violent than it needed to be. But that was kind of just a take that I had.
Yes, Dean.
I wondered if that was because they were kind of bowing to those audience members who might have come in expecting a Stephen King movie. So I wonder if it was a concession to, okay,
to you keep it R-rated,
right? Thing and okay, you've come in expecting a horror. This is not exactly horror, but we will give you some
horrific moments.
Some pretty horrific moments. But I agree. I mean, this could be a children's film if all the killings happen off camera, right? You don't need to see. I mean, just so that all our listeners' ear heard clearly, the premise of the movie is you start walking and you don't stop. You
have to be the last person walking.
If you stop, or if you slow down, or if you fall, and if you don't get up, you get three warnings. For any reason, then you're shot.
Yeah.
And you die. So, you know, you got to pee while you're walking. You got to poop while you're walking. You cannot sleep. And this goes on for a long time. So, you know, so there, and you know, obviously at the end, one person wins. So by definition, 49 of them have to die. So there's a lot of deaths in the movie, but they could have all happened off camera for sure. My take on the movie was, you know, Joe, you talk about this all the time, that every movie bears the burden of showing verisimilitude, like in terms of making you believe that this, what they're portraying, no matter how fantastic or how absurd, that it's really happening. I fought with the verisimilitude for the first half of the movie, where I didn't believe it. Felt like they were all in a drama, in a play. It didn't seem real enough for me. But then once, you know, the gruesome stuff started happening, I kind of got into the movie. I was watching it from the outside, and then I think at the halfway point, I got, you know, into the movie, and then the last half is terrific. It is, you're right, it's not an enjoyable movie because all you're seeing is progressive deaths, right? And these relationships built between different factions, and there is race implications, and there is implications of class, and implications of, you know, wealth versus not wealth, and, you know, the weak and the strong, and there's so much commentary here. And I think the movie kind of tries to get through most of it. You know, this could have been a series, we say this long time, yeah, because they're technically 50 people, but I think, you know, they cannot have 50 people in an hour and a half long movie.
It's an hour and 48 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so, not short.
So we get to know maybe, yeah, I think 6 or 7 characters at most, and we don't the others, but be that as it may, I was very engrossed, and I kind of liked where it landed.
Yeah. I made a note, and I don't normally notice this. I guess I noticed the absence of this. It had great dialogue. The way, because again, you're relying on a group of people walking, right? That's it. And so all you have to go on is the relationships that they build. And I did believe those relationships as they were built, and how it has this interesting dilemma, right? All of the boys end up relying on each other and are ushering each other along, yet the walk doesn't finish until there's only one person left.
Right.
So that within itself, I think, is quite an interesting idea to explore. But you're right. I like a three-part miniseries would have been super interesting, because each person came with such depth in their story.
Yeah.
And it was very well written. Again, I made a note, great dialogue. And again, I have to mention Judy Greer plays the mother in this movie, and there are some beautiful scenes with her in it. I mean, I would actually nominate her as the best supporting.
It's the best work I've seen her do.
Yeah, we're Judy Greer fans, I think.
We all are. Judy Greer has been in movies for like 2 decades. And you look at her filmography, she's been in one amazing movie after the other, and some crappy ones. But when is her ship going to come in? Like, she's been working hard and doing amazing work. You know, she needs more flowers for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, I can sum this one up. The only thing, as we're battling with the police sirens,
it's okay.
It's very dystopian.
It's the ambulance. Yeah.
It's very dystopian.
Yeah.
I would say though, again, for the fact that it's a walking movie, it doesn't quite go anywhere, but anyway, having said that, this for me is an 8 out of 10. This was really good. And again, enjoyable in the sense of very thought-provoking as opposed to entertaining.
Yeah, I would give it an 8 out of 10 as well. I originally would have thought 6 out of 10, like the first half of the movie. And then once the movie got its claws into me, I was really into it. And unlike you, Rashmi, I kind of expected that ending.
Kind
of. So it wasn't such a
big... But it was
big...
very abrupt. I think that's what I'm thinking. I didn't want to say I liked how it ended, but I think considering we'd been on this journey with them, then it just ended.
Yeah. And I also want to call out the two leads.
Yes. Thank you, Yasmin.
And David Johnson in particular.
Fantastic.
He's a British actor, I believe.
Yes.
He is. I mean, he's the co-lead in this movie, and his work is amazing. I think there are many things you can be in movies which are easy to do. You can be the bad guy. You could be the mean guy. You could be the funny guy. But to be an inherently good guy, a good person, that's very hard to portray, right? Because otherwise it'll just, you know, come off looking churlish, or, you know, this guy showing off. But he generally, you believe that this is a good person. And I think that much credit falls to him.
And Cooper Hoffman, great performance. Great acting genes there.
Yeah.
Also Charlie Plummer, who we've seen in all of those movies. We had one of those.
He was in The Rider.
Yes.
He was the kid on the horse in The Rider.
He was.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think if you're very, very squeamish, then maybe you should stay away because there's a lot of on-camera deaths, gruesome deaths. But if you're willing to set that aside, I think, again, this is a very thought-provoking movie. One of the people walking is obviously of Native American descent.
Yes.
And so there's that class separation as well. They didn't have to do that, but I don't know if it's in the original book, but it's in the movie. So I really appreciated the touches. There are some people who are physically weak. There's some people who are physically strong. How do they, you know, stack up against each other? There's a lot of juicy material here to play with.
Joe, what did you think?
In a year that's been very good. I feel like I say every other podcast, you know, this is probably one of my favorite movies of the year, and another one that kind of hits that mark. I'm going to stick with an 8 for now because I think the movie was excessively violent, and you know, like we're talking like brains splattered on the pavement kind of violence. This is not a very, you know, and it just felt unnecessary. But look, what I found, especially in the movie's final act, was that it became very emotional, and I was drawn into that emotion. I felt that emotion, and I found myself, you know, I don't cry easily, right? But you know, I felt myself feeling a lot of those feelings. There's a lot of masculine energy and camaraderie that was kind of, you know, that had these bonds that formed, and they depicted that extraordinarily well. The two leads are unbelievable.
Yeah. Again, I would nominate them for best.
It's going to be tough this year because there's just been so much good work. Yeah. But yeah, I would not be unhappy to see them on anyone's kind of best of the year list. Yeah. So, I thought this was fantastic.
Okay.
Okay. Last movie.
Something completely different.
Yes.
A big, bold, beautiful journey is what we'll be talking about. So.
And will these people be nominated for an Oscar? Let's talk about it.
Okay, so directed by Kogo Nada, and I had to look up who that was. He has credits for After Yang, which was a good movie.
Great film with Colin Farrell.
In 2021, yep. So maybe his muse, Pachinko, the TV series.
Yeah, and he also did a movie called Columbus, which was excellent. Yes.
Yes. So A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey is about, I'm going to predict this is a Yazdi movie, but we'll see. Two strangers who meet at a mutual friend's wedding have the chance to relive important moments from their pasts, illuminating the path that led them to the present and gaining the opportunity to change their futures. This has a great cast. This has Margot Robbie, Colin Farrell, Kevin Kline, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who I love, and Hamish Linklater, amongst some others. Joe, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. Do you believe this is also a Yazdi movie? And did you enjoy this one?
You know, I don't know that it's a Yazdi movie. I think it wants to be a Yazdi movie for sure.
You have correctly spoken, yes. It's trying very hard to be a Yazdi.
It really is.
Excuse me. It's trying very hard. And I gasped as we were setting up for the podcast because I brought up the reviews and I was like, really? 37% Rotten Tomatoes?
Yes.
I didn't hate this at all. I mean, 37% suggests something, you know, absolutely catastrophic. It's frustrating. It's trying to be so clever, and yet it kind of falls, it stumbles at every kind of moment. Mm. I didn't buy the chemistry, frankly, between Robbie and Farrell. Both are superb actors in their own right, and can make me believe all sorts of things. And you know, when they play, but this movie was just so it was trying to be different. And I think if you're trying to be different, but you don't achieve different, then that kind of gets annoying. And that's where this landed for me. I won't say I hated it. Just I didn't love it either.
Yazdi.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll start with the good stuff. I think the movie is visually just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. There is a whole scene early in the movie where the two characters meet for the first time, which is in this, they attend a friend's wedding and the water is pouring and all the guests are sitting in the rain with umbrellas.
Yes.
I don't know. There's something about umbrellas in the rain, which is obvious. So it's visual.
I think there's a lovely drone shot as well where you see all of the umbrellas and the bride running through. Yeah.
And that visual splendor continues through most of the movie. I think both the actors are really game, Margot Robbie as well as Colin Farrell. They're both very, very good. And I think there is a MacGuffin, or there's a device at the middle of the movie which allows both of them to kind of get into these flights of fancy where they kind of are able to revisit different parts of their life. And the movie, thankfully, doesn't try to explain it, which I think would have been kind of would have bogged down the movie even more. So it's just left as something strange has happened. They've gotten on these weird rental cars, and those cars allow them to go to places where they can revisit their past. I just think this movie is trying so hard to be whimsical and to be, you know,
yeah,
life affirming, that it's like a giant souffle which just falls under its own weight. It's so twee and it's so precious, and I have no problems with each of the individual pieces, right? So I there's a piece at Colin Farrell's high school. There's a piece where Margot Robbie visits her mom. Mm. Those all seem to belong in different movies, and it seems like the scriptwriter, maybe with these two characters, tried different things and then said, how can I put this all together in one movie? And let me use a device where different people are able to go. So I think the problem is with the script, because the script is just not able to hold everything together. So I was so waiting for this movie to tie me in, to give me some kind of an emotional wallop. But at the end of the movie, the two of them get together, and I still, after 2 hours of spending time with them, I still wasn't convinced that those two needed to be with each other at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's the script's fault, because it keeps saying these two people are perfect with each other. It's magical, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't see that.
Yep. Not big, not bold, and certainly not beautiful. But there are some moments of delight. And I think the problem, and I agree with both of you, is that it's tonally inconsistent. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It should have gone for more whimsical, or it should have gone for more definitive around this idea of destiny and journeys and paths, that whatever happened, they were meant to be together. Because that's what it's trying to convince us, right? That these two people are made for each other. And so whatever happens, their paths will cross. And I think Margot Robbie is so miscast. I just didn't buy that she was this character. Yeah. I just wanted to slap her the whole movie. I just really wanted to just
let's be real. That's Margot Robbie when she's doing good work as well. You don't like her.
That's correct. She's not my favorite actress. But even despite that, I just feel like she was so miscast, because she's not whimsical in nature. She's not ethereal. She's not light and fairy-like. And I feel like you needed someone much more ethereal and whimsical in this role.
It's something Rashmi will get over, the fact that Barbie sucked.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
I mean, the whole time I was seeing, there's a lot of close-ups in the movie.
Yeah.
And somebody on Instagram or Twitter or whatever wrote it, they were saying like, a big, bold, beautiful journey is a terrible film, but the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking that Margot Robbie's face game is really strong. I mean, and that's exactly what I felt. The whole time I was like, good thing this woman is in the movies, because her face is just like perfect. I mean, and we see her face again and again and again.
Yeah.
But
And there's inconsistency, right? The rules of the world that are established aren't even consistent within themselves, I think. And so you're just left feeling like, yeah, I would love to go on this fantasy adventure with this couple, right? And I can buy the concept that they open doors and they lead to different worlds. I can even deal with that. But the rules of the worlds don't quite hold up when you look at them a little bit more. And frankly, if it's that good a movie, we shouldn't even be wondering about that. So
I feel like the writer definitely took inspiration from like Charlie Kaufman, you know, like Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, definitely. It's in that vein.
That's what they were going for, where, you know, this stuff doesn't quite hang together, but it...
Yeah, I mean, I have no problems with magical realism. It can be extremely effective. But
Midnight in Paris and...
Yes. Yeah, right.
But my thing is that all...
I love that term, by the way. Magical realism.
Magical realism.
Oh, I've learned something.
I like that,
I'm going to use that.
It has to be of a cloth, right? So if you have all these strands kind of floating, those strands should all meet.
That's what I'm saying. The world.
And it doesn't. It's like this bad thing happened to him when he was in high school. This bad thing happened to her mother. But what of it? What is connecting it all together? Why should we care?
Yeah.
So I think it's too bad. I agree with you. Some of the dialogue is very, or was it you? Some of the dialogue is very good. And especially early on, it's kind of witty. So I like that. But the plot is just
It's just, not there. Again, I love the Phoebe Waller bridge. You know, what's going on there is very interesting, but there isn't enough of it. And again, I can deal with magical. I just think the rules of the world that are established aren't consistent in all of the scenes. So we can wrap this one up. I like someone's put here a big beautiful on Rotten Tomatoes. There's a big, bold, beautiful bore. I don't think it's boring. It's definitely not boring. Yeah. And it's beautiful to look at. It's beautifully filmed. It is well acted. It's just too many missteps. For me, this wasn't a beautiful journey. It was like a mediocre journey. I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 out of 10. Again, I think
that's harsh for me, ESD.
I know, but I if you're stuck on a plane,
this could have made you cry. There were moments here that should have made us cry.
Devastated.
Yeah, correct.
Right, like I want to see a movie version which is all about Margot Robbie and her mom.
Sure.
All about it.
Yeah.
But it's just thrown in at the back end, like, you know, so it all of this stuff should add up and really kind of affect you emotionally, but it did not.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting at the back of the plane, if you're bored on a Saturday night, you will, or Saturday afternoon, watch this by every means.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's funny. You know, it's beautifully shot. Just don't expect any big, you know, big gift that you'll receive at the end of the movie in terms of what it adds up to.
Yeah.
So I guess my vote is a little harsh because I had higher expectations from this director, from this cast.
Joe.
I think this is going to work for some people, honestly.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm much more positive than the two of you. I was sitting at around a 6 out of 10. You know, I think when I came out, I think I was even positive as far as, you know, giving my feedback to the press, the press rep that was there at the screening. So, there's something about this movie that I like. It's just, it doesn't hang together into more than the sum of its parts. So, I'm going to settle on a 5 as well with Rashmi, here. Because again, I think we can all see what it was striving to be.
Yeah.
And it's so close to achieving those things, but ultimately fell short. So too bad. Okie doke. Yes, we will be back very soon. We're recording 2 podcasts today, so I will try and release them in short order, one after the other. We will be back very soon with reviews of Him, After the Hunt, and the One Battle After Another movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm dying to talk about those.
Yes, so stay tuned to Movie Wallers. Keep refreshing your podcast feed. We will be back with you very soon. Until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching on YouTube. We do appreciate all of you. Until our next podcast, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.